Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we start the service. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. Thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, we just love and appreciate, Lord, this filling we can come, Lord, with peace in our hearts, with praise in our hearts. Such a blessing, Lord. Everything you've done for us, such a blessing. Lord, to gather around thy word, to hear thy precious word, revelation. Lord, we are so thankful this morning. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one that come out this morning. Lord, just have your way in this service. Everything that's said and done be for your glory, your honor. We'll lean upon you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 37, I only believe. Have thine own way, Lord. Amen. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the Hallelujah. Page 618, same book. I need thee. Amen. Sure, we all can say that this morning. Need him every hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Same book. Amen. Living by faith. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or all of my worry is vain. Above, trusting, confiding every day, amen, in his great love, from all harm safe, in his sheltering arms, nothing to worry about, saints, amen. Just take the step, he'll help you through it, amen. He'll take that step for you, just like the word we're going to hear today. He's going to give us his word, we're going to take the step, and everything's going to be all right, amen. I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm, hallelujah. That's a blessing. That's a big blessing in this day and age. Amen. We're thankful. Brother Amos, you take up the offering, if you would. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly such a blessing and an honor to be here this morning, Lord. We thank you for that grace and mercy in our lives.
Amen.
We thank you for the health and strength you've given us. We thank you for the desire, Lord, to climb higher in you this day. Lord, we ask as your word comes forth, Lord, let it find that good ground in our hearts.
Yes.
Lord, maybe climb a step higher in you is our prayer. Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Lord, let it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We commit all into your hands. We ask it in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shut in with God in a secret place. Shut in with God in a secret place, there in the Spirit, beholding his face, gain more power to run in this race. This morning, about raising her hand. Amen. Just keep it before him as we ask Brother Paul if he would take the request this morning.
Our Jesus, Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we just want to come before you. Thanks again and praise you,
yes.
Jesus, for bringing us all back together here again, Lord Jesus, where we can come to hear your word and be filled with your word, Lord Jesus, here. So lead and guide us through the rest of this week, Lord, and just ask that you speak to us this day now, Lord Jesus, and we hear from you once again. Bless the ministers you bring forth, make it easy for him, Lord God. And we just ask you, Lord, all the people, Lord, with these needs, Lord Jesus, may you just grant their need, Lord Jesus, whatever it might be, Lord Jesus, you know their need.
Amen.
You can do it, Father. So we just ask for your blessing upon all these things, and we ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Anyone got a song they want to sing this morning or a special? Sister Grace? Sing a little chorus. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, as we have been given mercy and grace to gather here once more, we are greatly appreciative in our heart. So thankful, Lord, and seeing the day and time which we live. Lord, there's still people throughout the world that, Lord, there's something working upon their hearts and their lives. And Lord, there's something taking place that's so very special that would not take place in millions and millions of people, but just a little few. And Lord, if we see by grace and mercy we're one of those few, we ought to be so thankful and appreciative in our hearts. We gathered here today, Lord, again to gather around your word. And Lord, to find if there's anything in our hearts that may not be just the way you want it to be. Something in our life, Lord, that's not according to thy will. So we ask that you would bless us and help us to be able to receive the word today. And know, Lord, as we go into the word, and we'd know that it's you speaking to us through the word. So we pray thy will be done now as we ask you help each one of us to commit ourselves unto you. In your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Do you love the word?
Amen.
Amen. Word is so precious. Let us turn our Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me, to 2 Timothy and 3rd chapter. Amen. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. Read a portion of scripture here. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, and let's read the 16th and 17th verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And may the Lord bless during his word, and you may be seated. Amen. I don't know what each and every one of you came here for this morning and what your main motive was, your objective, and how your desire was, and all those different things, but we know that it's God's grace if you come with the right motive and objective, come with the right desire and hungering to hear the word, and not only hear it, but to receive it, to understand it. You know, some may have got up and was excited about it, happy about it, that today we could gather in the house of the Lord, and just couldn't hardly wait to get here, as the prophet had mentioned, how it should be. And some may have maybe not quite been as excited about it and happy about it, you know. Some may have got out of bed this morning and complained all morning long about different things, and some may have got out of bed with joy in her heart, the joy of her salvation, and knowing it will be an exciting day in the Lord to receive the word and so forth. But again, God knows all of our circumstances, our situations that we're going through, and different things in life. And he knows the ones that their heart ain't really into this, but they afraid to back out of it because maybe what their husband will think, or their wife will think, or children will think, and you know, just different things that goes on in reality in people's lives, you know. But we have gathered here again this morning to let the Word of God prepare us. Still not going to start on that message I've been talking about this morning, or talking about for that's coming forward. But I still felt the Lord wanted me to further prepare you for it and be ready for it. Because, again, as I mentioned Thursday night, it's a message that truly, if you ever want to find out a false anointed one, it'll show you a false anointed one. And it'll show you people that just can't get it right. You know, the word comes, and it's just one of the things, I just can't get it right. It's just something about it, you know. It seems like God has different things in his word and different places that it's it's really hard for people to grasp. You know, it's hard for them to understand. And we go back to knowing and understanding that without the Holy Ghost, we'll never understand it. It'll just be a bunch of garbled up mess and confusion, you know. It's just, as I said also, I believe it was Thursday night, so many people, for such a grand, wonderful message that we have in this day, still so much confusion. And, yeah, people just can't get it right, you know. And is it they're not predestinated? I don't know. Or is it they just haven't been taught right? Or maybe they just haven't taken the time in their life to study the Word of God. And, you know, I don't know what the reason is, but God knows what the reason is. But we find in this scripture we read this morning, first here he says, all scripture is given by inspiration. You see, it's by the Holy Spirit revealing it. Okay, if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it, it means nothing. I mean, it's just readings and it's things we can remember maybe, possibly. But it's nothing real to it. There's no reality. There's no genuine ring of excitement about it in reality. He says here, is given the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. In other words, it's to set a standard and to teach on and bring forth in the ways of righteousness. For reproof, or to prove it's right, you see. Or correction, we know what correction is. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or in other words, perfect is complete, thoroughly furnished or perfectly finished, if you look up original Greek, unto all good works. So we realize that in God's word, if the Lord does not make every word to us real, it'll definitely have no value to it whatsoever. And truly, we'll be a people that it's very easily to misinterpret, as we spoke on Thursday night also, to misinterpret God's word and to get it mixed up and messed up, which we see so much of that today. But I'll read this just a portion of what I read there the other night. And Christ is revealed in his own word. Brother Branham is saying here on paragraph 70, and this was preached August 22nd, 1965. He said, so perfect, the word of God is so perfect. Now, if we'd really just really be able to have it in our own life, you know, because, you know, believe it or not, a lot of people think the word of God ain't perfect. You know, they think there's all kind of flaws in it, and there's flaws here and flaws there, this, that, and the other. But they just don't understand it, you see. They don't have it revealed to them. So to them, there's flaws. And oftentimes when people think there's flaws, then they've got to lean upon their own understanding, and then they give their own interpretation of things and really get things messed up, you see. But we're living in an age and time, friends, where you can't let the Word of God be messed up at all in your life. It's got to be exactly the way God said it to be, you see. But people are so used to living by things messed up, you know. And did you ever see a time where people just tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? Oh, every wind of doctrine comes along, you know. I've seen it, friends. I've told you before, I've seen ministers do it. I've seen ministers get behind a pulpit and an evangelist comes to church and preaches on something. And it'll be off the word, but he'll go along. He'll say, oh, I see that. And then he'll just take right off with it and go contrary to the word of God. And then the next minute he comes back and next maybe another service meeting comes along and somebody is preaching the truth. And always he's fired up on that now and he stays with that one there for a little bit until the wrong person comes along. You know? Tossed about with every wind of doctrine by a sleight of men and cutting craftiness. And we're to be deceived. You see? And it's the age we're living in. You know? Because the prophet says the most deceptive age it's ever been. You know? So he says here, though, that he said, so perfect, the word of God is so perfect, even to the Old and New Testament is two halves and one whole. That's right. The Old Testament is half of it, and the New Testament is half of it. Put it together, you got the whole revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll skip down just a little bit, save a little time. Now, in order to study the scripture, Paul told Timothy to study it rightly dividing the Word of God, which is truth. That's what every minister should do, is rightly divide the Word of God, you see. And the only way you can do it is by the Holy Ghost, you see. And staying with that truth, or the Word of God. He said, there's three must in the Scripture. He said, in using God's Word. Now, as a minister, I'm up here using God's Word. Now, you may use the Word of God telling somebody else about it. You may sit there and look at the Word of God and begin to study it and think, and you, by applying it in your life, you're using the Word of God, you see. So it isn't just the minister, but we find that Paul is telling us, though, in using the Word of God, there is three things that you must not do. I just want to remind you this. He said, now let's study those for the next 10 minutes. I'm not going to go too much into that this morning. I'm just going to remind you a couple of things we did bring Thursday night. He said, three things that you must not do. And all out in the land. So everybody listening, he says. What he's talking about. All out in the land, wherever you are, across the nation. So he's talking about us today, right? Amen. All right. Be sure to put these down in your mind. If you haven't got a pencil. He said, you must not do these things. We tell you all the time how you must do. He said, but now I'm going to tell you what you must not do. You must not misinterpret the Word of God. Now, do you realize a person can misinterpret the Word of God and not realize what they're doing? Absolutely. By deceit. By being deceived, they can misinterpret the Word and think they're all right and everything's just the way God wants it to be and feel so solid with it, you know, so happy about it, and yet be misinterpreted, okay? But the prophet is telling us we must not misinterpret the Word of God. You say, well, I believe it means this. It means just what it says. It needs no interpreter. And you must not misplace the Word. Now, we read what he said about all three of these things the other night. And you must not dislocate the Word. And if you would do either of these, it throws the whole Bible in a confusion and in a chaos. Now, you can do the same thing with the prophet's messages. It's the Word of God, isn't it? Absolutely it is. So if we take a message that God gave through our prophet, which a prophet, again, is God's mouthpiece. You know, he speaks to his prophets. And they are the voice. They are the word that's to come to the people, whatever it may be for the time or the season, whatever it is. But God uses his prophets to do that, you see. So God used our prophet and sent many messages. Many messages. And it was brought just the way God wanted it to be brought, you know. And we, as human beings, as I said, if we can't quite understand what he said, or if we, maybe we can listen to what he said or read what he said, and we can begin to twist something, let Satan twist it in our thoughts. And think, well, hey, that's what he's talking about. Or we can say, he doesn't mean that. That's not so. You know, that's. I think he means this is what we should be. You know? And that's exactly what's going on in this day and age which we live. And that's why we've got so many ideas and doctrines and creeds and ideas about different messages that the prophet brought. You know, and I'm not going to go in right now to all these different things, but you know as well as I do, all these different ideas people's got today. All right, but let's just go back now. I want to read this for a reason because it's not only going to be for us here, but those that will listen to this. And I know Brother Mike, he'll be listening to these things. He's been listening so far to the messages, even though, you know, going through what he's going through. I want to make sure he does and anybody else that listens to these things. Not, as I said, not only just for us here. I'll make sure you got this little foundation. Genesis 3. And if you want to turn with me, that's fine. In the first verse, very familiar scripture. Genesis 3, first verse. The scripture is saying here, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall eat of every tree of the garden? Okay, he's asking his question. Okay. And the woman said unto the serpent, so she's going to answer the serpent back with the original word that was given to him. Okay. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. In other words, partake of it. Okay. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So Eve was able to quote back the word to the serpent. And she had it right. She didn't have it messed up. She had it right. Okay? I want you to think about these things, saints. Okay? The serpent said unto the woman, now here's Satan using this man like beast. Brother Bam called him a man. He did. He said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now here Satan's using this serpent to preach to Eve and telling her that what she just got done telling him, telling her she's got it mixed up. You got the wrong understanding here, Eve. I'm going to give you the right understanding of this. But in this, him trying now to give the right understanding, he's going to give her a misinterpretation of the word. Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know. Now see, he's keeping it real religious, isn't he? Yeah, he's keeping it real religious. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Sound very logical? Sound very sensible? Sound like something that should be the way it should be. But see how he twisted things. Okay? He says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now here she is looking at this man, like a beast, called a serpent. And she's looking at it and she's thinking, my. You know, after he gets to talking to her a little bit, I don't know exactly what all started happening there, but we know that there was something that was going to happen that wasn't going to be very good. Okay? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, in other words, to partake of, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, it was pleasant to her. It was desire began to raise. Yeah. And lustful thoughts begin to come. Yeah. And the tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh my. Everything's sounding really good, you know? And that man standing there in front of her and no clothes on, none at all. But yet there's something going on now. There's lust starting to take place. You know, the scene, the stage is getting set. See? Because he's misinterpreting the word of God. The stage is getting set for a great fall. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. There's when that sex act took place. You see? She began to have this act with this serpent. All right? And she conceived. Of course, a lot of people's got all mixed up. We know how that goes. Apples, apricots, and all kinds of things. But they're blind, you see. They can't see. But we know exactly what had taken place here, what God revealed to the prophets. You see? He says, and did eat. So she partook. She had this act with the serpent. Okay? And gave also unto her husband. So she thought, well, it was so good with him. Now she's going to show him. This is pretty good, you know. Let's have this act together with you. Yeah. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. Okay. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Wow, there started something took place there. Their conscience began to bother them. They began to realize they broke the word of God. And something strange had happened. It's so quickly and so different from what they knowed of. But isn't it strange how they begin to get bothered, ashamed? Conscience is really working on now. And they begin to sew fig leaves together to cover themselves. Yeah. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. Oh, they didn't want to be seen. It was feeling so dirty, so wrong, you see. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" You know, of course they are hiding, you know, trying to keep from being seen. And showing you, if people just had common sense, they would know that it wasn't an apple or apricot or something like that. I mean, if it just had common sense. I mean, when does a man and woman get in that kind of condition? When they've had an unlawful act. Yeah. And then they feel this consciousness. Oh, no. You see? So people think it's this other bunch of nonsense, but if they could only see what happened here. And it all started by misinterpreting one word. Misinterpreting. And it sounded so right, it sounded so good. It sounded like there's no way it could be wrong. You know, I mean, to have the serpent telling her these things, and this sounds so right, you know, and we was made for this, you know, this blah, 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 you know. But it wasn't what God wanted at that time, okay? But yeah, God had a purpose of it to happen that way, okay? And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked, and I hid myself." He knew then he was naked. And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Look how many times people eat today of things the word he told them. Told them not to. And yet they think they're wise. They think they're going to be more wise because of what they do. But look how many times they eat the wrong thing. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me." He deceived her. And did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, there he is standing there too, you know. "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field." Again, shows it wasn't no apple or apricot. It's just silliness. "Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat of all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Yeah. "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. So we find death struck then. Because of disobedience, she listened to that serpent misinterpret the word of God. And again, to remind you, it sounded so right to her. That's why she said, okay, let's go for it. It sounded so right. And there's no different than what Satan's doing today. He'll bring something out of the Word in a misinterpreted form. And then we think, oh, that sounds so right. You know, it sounds so, it couldn't be any other way than that. You know? And I'll tell you again, friends, it's truly the grace and mercy of God that keeps us on the right path. I mean, truly. But what's it do to a minister? It makes him a nervous wreck. Yeah. To make sure everything is just the way God wants it to be. Yeah. I remember Brother Branham saying many times he was a nervous man, no wonder, with what responsibility was given him. My, no wonder. That's why I said, and I've said many a time, when a man can get behind a pulpit and use the word of God is so disrespectful and just tromp on it, misplace this and dislocate that and misinterpret that. Friends, I have no respect for a man like that. None. None at all. You don't realize the souls that he's responsible for. This is a little place. There's what, maybe 50 to 60 people here? I don't know. And look at responsibility. To take and twist one thing around or to dislocate it. How serious that is. Because God doesn't change. It was death then, it's death now. You see? You as an individual sitting there, you may pick up your Bible and read, and you may pick up the messages and read. You may listen to the Word and so forth. But if you let Satan enter your mind and get things twisted around, believe me, friends, I've seen it hundreds of times. And I'm sure you have too. You can tell by the way people talk to you, it's twisted around. When they give the wrong interpretation to it, and the Scripture plainly said this, the prophet plainly explained it this way, and then we give some kind of a carnal thing flies out of our mouth. Our carnal understanding that we have let be misinterpreted. Now, whether you did that and allowed Satan to do that in your thoughts yourself, or whether you let some preacher get behind a pulpit and do that, God knows. You see? But you'll not get by with it. No. But we take it so lightly to misinterpret God's word. And I'm telling you, I'm just like the prophet said, this civilization is truly not set up to be God's way. No. Watch how smart people are getting. I mean, smarter and smarter and smarter. They teach children to lean upon their own understanding, to figure things out, to do this, that, and the other. And it's all contrary to God. Every bit of it. You see. I don't, as the prophet said, I don't support illiteracy. No. Or not having an education enough to read and do what needs to be done. But friend, Satan is doing a terrible work through the land today. Yeah. He's sending preachers out one right after another. Just bang, 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 bang. With great education. Look out. If the Holy Ghost ain't there, friends, they're the worst enemy you've got. Yeah. Because it's Satan's vessel to use to do his misinterpreting, his twisting, his misconstruing, dislocating. It's a vessel for Satan to use, you see? To get you to accept one thing. That's all it takes. One thing contrary to the word, you see? And that's what I feel the Holy Ghost wants us to do in preparing for a message I want to bring, Lord willing, if I live and he tarries, is because it's so easily misunderstood. So easily. And it has been so misunderstood so many times. So many times. And people's lives show it. Sometimes the first time their mouth opens, it shows it. Yeah. As soon as the subject comes up and their mouth starts moving, you can tell he was deceived. Because they will not accept what that prophet said. They will not accept it scripturally. Is it given to them to know? I don't know. Maybe not. But I know to his own, it's been given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To others, it's an intellectual knowledge. An intellectual knowledge won't get you in. By no means. You see. In the Feast of Trumpets, paragraph 132, he says, the first chapter of the Bible, in the beginning, Genesis, one woman didn't misbelieve it, but she just misinterpreted. Let Satan misinterpret it to her. He says, one word. Surely. Surely. As soon as he said surely, it started sounding good to her. And she listened. And she listened closely. You know, like Brother Mike was saying, I went to the hospital yesterday and seen him. He talked about listening to the message Thursday night. And he said, I want you to know, he said, I'm hanging on to every word you're saying. He said, because I know you won't deceive me. I said, I'm trusting in God. I'm depending on hope. I never, ever do that. Never. There's a man that, you know, hadn't got what a lot of people in here has understood and had. And look what he knows. Yeah. And there's people all over this message that doesn't have that. Yeah. But he's concerned that everything's exactly the way it has to be. Because they don't want to get messed up. Are we that concerned? That we don't want to get nothing messed up? Are you sure? Have we accepted things that's been misinterpreted? The big know everything people we are. Been in the message for years, oh my lands, we just know all kinds of things, you know. But is there anything at all that we've let being misinterpreted to us? It's a dangerous thing. A very serious thing. Yeah. Almost fear to come behind this pulpit. Yeah. Because it's so serious. I don't have to stand before God on the day of judgment as a misinterpreter of the Word of God. It's so serious, saints. But she just misinterpreted it, see? And let Satan misinterpret it to her, one word, surely. And then from that caused all this trouble. He said, and that's what God's speaking. He said, God's word. And that's what started all this trouble. That's why Brother Bram said another quote. I didn't bring it with me. That's why all these ambulances out here today, people getting sick, people having this problems, people murdering each other, all this drugs and alcohol going on today. All of that happened because of Eve letting the devil misinterpret one word to her. And to think we'll get back in with one word misinterpreted? It ain't happening. No wonder he said so many times, the prophet did, and mentioned Matthew 24, that it'd be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Now there must be something very special that God does for this elect. Because Satan has had over 6,000 years to work on this. Yeah. He's very shrewd. Very crafty. He can enter men's minds and why they can think they're King George. And God at all and know it all. And a memory just that'll outshine the Son. And it's all out to get you. Do you realize that? You're elected, aren't you? It's all out to get you. To try to deceive you. And we'll take it so lightly so many times of people's ideas. There's nothing but staunch in God's nostrils. You better have one ultimate and one absolute. That's God's holy, pure, unadulterated word. And how we should every day measure ourselves up by that pure, unadulterated word. And be praying, asking God, oh God, if there's something in me I'm not seeing right, I've misinterpreted or misunderstood, help me, Lord, today. This is serious, Lord. But do we take it that serious? I'm elected, so I just know everything's going to go all right. Look out. The old devil's going to try to take a punch at you. But the time you think that you're something when you're nothing, you've deceived yourself, friends. Because you can't make it without Jesus Christ in your life. Impossible. Impossible for you to make it, friends, through all this deceit going on without the Holy Ghost. You ain't gonna make it. No. Look how close some of us was. And God's mercy and grace brought us back to the Word. It sounded so good. It sounded so right. How could it be wrong? It seemed impossible to be wrong. Earlier years, signs, wonders, miracles done. So close. It deceived the very elected if it was possible. I can't stress it how serious enough it is. In God's Power to Transform, paragraph 70, September 11, 1965. The deformer, I know this seems to be rather strange to speak of it in this way, to deform. But that's what he was, he deformed or perverted. Now I want you to think about these things when we bring forth the word. Okay. Pervert means to changed over or made something different. And deformed is the same thing, and that it's been brought over and deformed and made in another way. Yet it's still the same seed, but it's deformed. Now we find that this deformer has also had the same amount of time to deform as God had to transform. Now he planted a seed, see, in the Garden of Eden. Since that time he has had 6,000 years of deforming the seed of God, or the Word of God, to deform it, make it something different. The first time that Eve listened to him and got herself just one little phrase off. That's all it took. Remember, first, Satan quoted that scripture just as clear as it could be. Oh, clear as it could be. Right. And you know, when we read from the prophet's messages, it's just as clear as it could be. But it's what we say afterwards. Yeah. And we know we're living in a day and time where everybody wants to be something. Everybody wants to be known that they have revelation. There's nobody can preach like they can. There's nobody can have signs and wonders like they can. If we'd all just learn, it ain't us. It's him. We can't do nothing in ourselves. But man gets himself so pumped and primed up, he just thinks he's everything. He can say anything he wants to. And the little sheep sit there, he just wants to swallow it up. Especially if they've seen a few signs and wonders. Oh my. What a stage set for deceit in this hour. He says, He said 6,000 years of deforming the seed of God, the word of God, to deform it, make it something different. Look how many times they take the prophet's messages and just try to make it something different so it's something new they're preaching to their congregation. I am not a bit concerned of preaching something new to you, friends. I'm concerned one thing is saying what that prophet said, make sure it comes out exactly what he meant. You see, who cares if we got a new message? We don't need a new message. We need the message that's been brought in our life. You see? Oh my. To make it something different. The first time like Eve listened to him and got herself just one little phrase off. Remember, first Satan quoted the scripture just as clear as it could be. God had said that. You shall not eat of the tree of the Garden of Eden. See? You shall eat of every tree. And remember now, or ye shall not eat of every tree. And remember now, Eve said, yes, we may eat of every tree, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, we mustn't even touch it. Now watch him. In his message, that's how the prophet says it, in his message, twist that word just a little bit. Because so many preachers have twisted the word today, friends, they don't even know what the new birth is. No. They don't even know what true justification is. By the little bit of twist they put to it. Oh my. And Eve said, for God said that if we do this, the day we eat, we die. She knew. She heard the clear-cut decision. What God done give his word, that original word. This is the way it is. But she let Satan misinterpret it a little bit to make it sound like a new message. Something more exciting. Yeah. Oh my. He said, oh, surely you will not die. Oh my. Why, surely you wouldn't have to do like this. Well, you'll be the saddest person that ever lived if you have to do and live like that. Well, you'll just be so uncomfortable wearing things like that. Yeah. It's okay. Let it be uncomfortable. He twists things badly. Oh, surely you will not die. He was a man. He was. That serpent was. He was a man. He said, you do this now, and you are, he said, you're kind of an ignorant people, you know. That's why a lot of preachers get behind the pulpit. They get up behind the pulpit and they think their sheep's a bunch of ignorant sheep. No. Friends, you know just as much as I do. You've been taught in this message. You've been brought up in it. Some of you may know more than I know. Yeah. But one thing about it, we're not an ignorant people. Regardless what the devil wants to say. You see? But that's how he's putting it here with Eve. He knew that Eve was kind of, he wanted to put her in an ignorant position, you know. It's like a lot of preachers, they want to put us in an ignorant position. Nobody knows more than they know. Yeah, well, I'm sorry, you know. You know, a lot of these preachers out here today preaching, friends, today on this morning, probably got a whole lot more smarts up here. But by God's grace, I trust that there's more revelation on the inside. Amen. To understand. You're kind of an ignorant people. You don't know all things, you know. But if you would only partake of this, then you would have wisdom. My. You would have knowledge. You would know right from wrong and be like gods. If you would only partake of this wisdom that I have. If you'd only partake of this wisdom I have. Which it's all right to have wisdom. But if the wisdom is contrary, if the wisdom isn't correct wisdom from God, divine wisdom, and becomes natural wisdom, I don't care how much science we have, or what more, or education, it's of the devil. I'll prove it to you, the Lord will, and in a few minutes, it's of the devil. Civilization is of the devil. I just got through preaching on that. All culture in the earth, all powers of science, everything is of the devil. If his gospel he preached of knowledge, or he said, I'm sorry, or I'm saying sorry. It's his gospel he preached of knowledge in the Garden of Eden, see? And he has took that knowledge and perverted knowledge contrary to the word and will, and see, a contrary to the will, word and will and plan of God. And now he has had 6,000 years to do just exactly what God did, only in a perverted way. And took the same amount of time bringing his own Eden in. Now he has got an Eden here on earth, see? And it's filled with wisdom and knowledge. That was his gospel at the beginning. Knowledge, wisdom, science. Never did God ever cater to such. I want you to watch a minute. He did this, and because of that, he was a man of worldly wisdom. Now, don't take it wrong what he's saying here, friends. There is true fivefold ministry. It's got a lot of wisdom. Yeah, and it's good. We need that, you see. But he's talking about worldly wisdom. And when it's contrary, used contrary to the Word of God. Okay? All right? Now, it's hard to say, it's very hard, because speaking to people who feel the same way I do, and the way I have been for many years, but since the opening of those seven seals, them angels just behind the mountain yonder, see, this has become a new book now. It's the things that's been hid. It's being revealed as God promised in Revelation 10. He would do it, see? And we are the privileged people that God has chosen of the earth that we might see and understand these things. Thank you, Lord. Which is not some mythical fleshly mind of a person trying to make it up. It's the Word of God made manifest and proven. If anything that ever comes from God, friends, he always vindicates it, always proves it to be so. Okay? That's right, proven, not by science, but by God, that it's right. God, as I have said before in a message, God doesn't need anyone to interpret his word. No. He is his own interpreter. He says it, it'll happen, and it happens. That's how he interprets it. He speaks it, says it, and it happens. He interprets his own word. We don't have to worry about putting our own ideas to it. What did he say? Say what I said. Oh, the Holy Ghost will take care of that little bride. Yes, you will, you see. He's confirmed it, and that interprets it, you see. Oh, my. But like I said, there's so many men throughout the land today, living right now, friends, that's so interested in having a new message. A certain thing that they know that another preacher don't know. They want to try to prove their point that they're better or smarter. And that's about all we get done doing is a bunch of fussing with each other. Yeah. Fuss over this and fuss over that and fuss over this. Yeah. I kind of like the way Brother Bell used to tell him, you know, if you come here to fuss over the word, just get out of here. You know? Yeah. But he said here, in the Church Age book, let's read this real quick. I'm running out of time very fast. This is in Church Age book on page 176. And maybe I can read through this and we'll close for this morning. Now remember that Moses was born for a certain work, but he could not do that work until he had received the gifts which would enable him to do the work. He had to go out in the desert and wait there. God had an appointment time. He says, and there was to be a certain Pharaoh on the throne, and the people had to be crying for the bread of life before God could send him back. This is true for our day. Same thing he did for the prophets, you see. But what do we have in this our day? Multitudes are working signs under, we have a generation of sign seekers, that we know little nothing about the word. And there's people in this message, friends, who've been in for years and still seeking signs. Yeah, that's the most exciting thing. I'm seeking signs. I want to see signs. Signs here, signs there. They don't know the word, but they're just seeking signs. You know. He says, and know nothing about the word or a true move of the Spirit of God. Yeah. If they see blood, oil, fire, oh, they're happy. It matters not what is in the word. They will support any sign, even unscriptural ones. But God has warned us about that. He said in Matthew 24 that in the last days the two spirits would be so close together that only the very elected could tell them apart, for they alone would not be deceived. How can you tell the two spirits apart? Just give them the word test.
Yeah.
If they don't speak the word, they are of the evil one. Oh, they don't speak the word, they're of the evil one? I'm saying exactly what he said. Okay? And then people wonder why I stand so strong against this nonsense going on today. As the evil one deceived the first two brides, he will try to deceive the bride of this last day. So that's you, isn't it? Oh, yes. By trying to get her to hybridize herself through creeds. It's a man's ideas. What he thinks his interpretation of it is. Or just plainly turning from the word to any sign that suits her. But God never placed signs ahead of the word. Signs follow the word. And when Elijah told the woman to bake a cake for him first, according to the word of the Lord, when she did as the word said, the proper sign came. See? Come to the word first, then watch the miracle. The seed word is energized by the Spirit. How can any messenger sent from God believe only a part of the word and deny some of it? The true prophet of God in this last day will proclaim the whole word. I love that. Oh, I love that. Denominations will hate him. His words may be as harsh as John the Baptist, who called them vipers. But the predestinated will hear and be ready for the rapture. The royal seed of Abraham will, with like faith as Abraham's, will hold to the word with him, for they are predestinated together. The last day messenger will appear in God's appointed time. It is the end time, now as we all know, for Israel is in the homeland. Any time now, he will come according to Malachi, which we know he did. When we see him, he will be dedicated to the word. He will be indicated, as I says, he says he will be indicated or pointed out in the word, Revelation 10:7, and God will vindicate his ministry, which God did. We all know that. He will preach the truth as did Elijah and be ready for the Mount Zion showdown. Ain't that right? He said, but many will misunderstand him. Many will misunderstand him. Because they have been taught Scripture in a certain way which they consider to be truth. I'm going to tell you what, there's many messages. These are not the message books, but there's many messages, friend, that God brought through that prophet. And because it was taught in a little different way to them, they can't still accept exactly what he said. They take it as and give it some other kind of interpretation to it instead of plain, flat, taking what he said. Oh, my. They have been taught Scripture in a certain way which they consider truth. When he comes against that, they will not believe it. When that prophet comes against it, they'll not believe it. Yeah. Even some true ministers will misunderstand the messenger. Because much has been called God's truth by deceivers. Oh, much has been called truth by deceivers. Saints. But this prophet will come, and as a forerunner for the first coming, cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Even so, even so will he no doubt cry out, "Behold, the Lamb of God coming in glory." He will do this, for even as John was the messenger of the truth to the elect, so is this one the last messenger to the elect. And the word-born bride. Maybe I could just read one more. Let me read this one more and we'll close. Why don't you sisters come up, please? I haven't been quite an hour yet, let me get this one in. Thinking Man's Filter, August 22nd, 1965, paragraph 67. As I spoke this morning and last Sunday morning on the will in the middle of the will, or that little inside soul on the inside of the Spirit, how that the spirit on the outside, between the soul and the body. Remember the three rings? I'm sure you do. How that the spirit on the outside, between the soul and the body can be absolutely anointed with the Holy Ghost. He said, did y'all understand that? How to follow that with the continuity of the message, the God of this world, the anointed ones in the last days, that outside that middle circle, first circle, is the human senses. The second circle is the spirit senses, self-will, desire, and so forth. But the inside is the soul. That soul was predestinated. So they can anoint the spirit to make the outside body come in subject to the spirit. But the soul that sinneth, what is sin? Unbelief. That soul shall die. The soul that rejects in unbelief the Word of God rejects the Word of God. Yes. Friends, is going to die. He said, which is a part, that soul shall, he said, always, he skips a little bit there. He says, I believe in an eternal death, same as I believe in eternal heaven, but not in eternal hell. There's no such thing as eternal hell. There is an eternal death for the people, many of them, religious in the world today, religious, yes, has always been dead. Wow. The woman that liveth in pleasure with her bobbed hair and painted face is dead while she lives, is alive. And the Bible said so. She may be religious, but she never was saved. She's got an outward motion. She might sing in the choir. She might dance in the spirit. She might speak in tongues and have all the manifestations of the spirit. But unless that soul on the inside is God's daughter, she's gone no matter what she does. Israel was all outwardly spiritual, as he says, all filled with God's goodness and how they reverenced God and so forth. But that didn't work. The inside of them could not recognize the Word itself. They couldn't recognize Jesus. He was, and He was the Word. But the outside, oh, they were so reverent, and oh my, they'd done so, stayed with the law of Moses, and oh my, just even to killing people. On my lands, yes. Caught in adultery, those small Moses said, kill them, that's the way it's going to happen. I mean, stay right to it. But they couldn't recognize the Word that moved on the scene. Oh my. Sometimes I wonder, I'm kind of relating this to the prophet's messages, these books I'm holding up here, how many times people still don't recognize God speaking to them through that word. They think it was a good man to come and had mighty signs and wonders, so it's a good thing to follow. But they don't really understand who it was. I believe, this is my opinion, this is me, that there's thousands and thousands in this message that don't have a clue, really, who that was. How could they? That's why it's so easy for them to take away, add to, misinterpret, and oh my, come to the church with a new message. I'm going to enlighten the people with a new message. They didn't understand what that prophet was saying. Faith comes by the hearing of the word. Speak the word. If there's seed, they'll understand. Yes. They'll understand about that little elephant up on the shelf. They'll be able to read between the lines. The Holy Ghost teach them all things. All things. A comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall teach them all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Oh my. Since we're living in such, it's a glorious hour, a wonderful, tremendous day, but it's such a serious hour. And no wonder Apostle Paul warned Timothy of perilous times would come. Dangerous. So dangerous. My. I just trust, saints, with what I've brought so far, that somehow it'll have placed something in your heart to be take us more serious. So serious. Because I'll put this way again. The devil's out to get you. If he can get you to think one thing contrary by a very good person that maybe said something to you. Oh. Somebody in their life, they might have walked right behind Brother Branham. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It might have been somebody, friends, that come out of Pentecost and had mighty signs and wonders and miracles that followed their ministry. Stage is set for deceit. But God gave us the pure word to measure it up by. He gave us these messages that we could measure ourselves up by. Not a man's idea. Man's got all kinds of ideas. I'm not interested in man's ideas. I'm interested in what that word says. That word only. But God has true fivefold ministry, friends. You know, and just something's coming to me. I don't want Brother and Sister Pitt to sit there and think I'm talking against Brother Leavell, because I'm not. No. But there's people out there, friends, that's out to get you. Yeah. Ministers. Satan's using them. They're just lying, waiting for you to be deceived. By the craftiness. Yeah. By twisting that word just a little bit to make it sound like, oh, I never understood this before. This is the way, oh, I see it now. And it's totally contrary to what that prophet said. Look out. Look out. And that's why I feel I'm taking it so serious here, friends. I honestly don't know what I would do, friends. What I feel right now. Honestly, I'm not sure how I would handle it if I'd found out that I'd deceived people. I don't know how I would do it. So what would you do, Brother Steve? I don't know. What comes to mind? Because I'd be going to hell anyway. So serious it is, saints. I don't want anything wrong. Nothing. I want everything to be right. Everything. It'd be better to hang a millstone around my neck and be dropped in the depths of the sea than hurt one of you. To mislead one of you. It's very serious. So I say, these men come along want to be preachers. They better hope they're called. Yeah. Because Satan's calling his too. Amen. And the more he can get, the better off he thinks it is. He always works by big numbers. God's his minority. Oh, God. Let us all stand. Sometimes I think maybe part of what, even why the prophet wanted to run to the mountains and just stay hid. I feel that many times. I don't even want to be seen. I don't even want to do with it. But, you know, if he calls, you know, gifts and callings are without repentance. But it's a serious thing, saints. Pray for me. Precious Lord, you know my heart. I want to be right. I want no interpretation of my own. No dislocating. No misplacing. But Lord, only the pure, unadulterated word. And Lord, if I knew I had to come to that place, I would be a perverter of this word. I'd rather you kill me. Just take me, Lord. I want nothing to do with that, Lord. I want to be right. And Lord, we know as we people are today, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way there is death. They think everything's good, everything's all right, but oh God, what did you say? That's the thing. So I ask, Lord, that you'd help me to be a true and faithful servant, Lord. And help these people, oh God, keep them from any of them being deceived. Watch over them, Lord, and make the word of God real and plain in our hearts. Father, we know it won't be long. We'll be able to lay this all down. I'm looking forward to it. Keep us, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord, as we journey now to our homes. And bring us back to the next point in time, if you should tarry. And if we should live, help us and bless us, Lord, to come in the right spirit. And, Lord, enjoying the opportunity to be here. We love you and appreciate you now, Lord. We praise your holy name for all you do. In your wonderful name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's sing it, of course. I love so well, Amazing Grace. Amen. Amazing Grace. Sweet the sound. Hallelujah. Yes, oh God. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. Jesus richly bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Amen.